Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sir Mr. Delaney, so what?
It's Life Logistics. We are here to help you with your problems, no matter how great they are or how small they are. And we will make your life better if we can. There's an email that's come in that's just this morning, which has got a title which has piqued my interest. It seems like it's right up our street. And the title of the email is thus, Bat in the House. I repeat,
wow.
Bat in the House.
One of the worst animals you can have in a house, I would say. Straight away,
yeah.
I'll say that.
It feels to me as if this isn't something we can deal with because the time lapse between the bat entering this person's house and the email coming in and then the episode going out seems to be too long for the bat to remain in the house.
No, I mean? A bat can survive in a house for 24 hours. If you're the human, first thing you ought to think about is evacuate the house. Check into your local Premier Inn or find an inexpensive nearby Premier Inn and wait it out.
You can save money as well by driving a bit further afar and go to one of those Premier Inns that's like on the side of the motorway or an industrial estate or something.
I stayed in a great one in Cardiff when we did our live shows. Probably the best night in a hotel I ever had. It was in effectively a storage unit. They've got a budget series called, like a spin-off called Premier Inn Zip, unless it's Travelodge, it's something like that.
That was Premier Inn, I think. Yeah. You were in like a tiny cube or something and everything.
Yeah, it was like a shipping container. It was a pod and it had everything in it. It had a bed. It sort of had Japanese vibes about it because it was all like built into one and it was all like, it was quite white and space age inside, a bit like Stanley Kubrick had designed it. And it cost me like something like 30 quid for the night.
Yeah.
And I booked it on the day we stayed there. And it had a bed. It had a really nice TV at the end of the bed, wall mounted. They had a shower, a toilet. Yeah. Which was sort of sectioned off, but it was all tiny and it just felt so lovely. It didn't matter that I was on an industrial estate, although being on an industrial estate, if anything, made me feel safer because I thought, no fucker's going to find me here. If I was on the lamb, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be staying in a city centre. I'd be staying on an industrial estate. The other thing I remember about that night was that it was in that pod that I watched the Prince Andrew interview.
It's one of those things you remember where you were when you saw it, and you definitely
totally
did.
And it was like, I will remember that until I'm old and fucking grey, that I was in a fucking shipping container in an industrial estate on the outskirts of fucking Cardiff on my own, having just done a live performance of a podcast, watching fucking Prince Andrew claim deadpan that he had a rare condition that made him unable to sweat.
He's unable to sweat. The thing is, as well, as you get older and time and memory begins to blur, you'll look back at that and you'll doubt yourself. You'll think, did I really watch that interview in some kind of tiny pod in Cardiff? Surely not.
That sounds far-fetched. Maybe I've fucking lost it totally, but no, it definitely
what
happened.
I wonder what kind of unlikely places we can stage during our upcoming tour in November. Tickets still available, of course. tftimemachine.com/liveshows.
Hey, and if you have to travel from out of town to one of our venues, we're playing in most of the major conurbations. From the top to the bottom of the country, Well, we don't go further north than Edinburgh and Glasgow, but...
Well, we're not doing Edinburgh this time.
Glasgow. Just doing Glasgow. But,
sorry, Edinburgh.
But the point is, you'll be able to get to see us. We're part of the country. But if you do have to travel, why not make a night of it? Stay in a hotel, and who knows? You might even see us hanging out by the vending machine.
Yeah, the cheaper the hotel, the more likely there
the is... The more likely you are to see us. I mean, I've done that before with West Ham, where I've, like, gone away, and we booked a hotel and thought, oh, maybe we'll see the West Ham players
maybe
in this hotel.
Maybe the players will be there, yeah.
It happened once. Well, I went to Palermo when West Ham playing Palermo in the Europa League, or I guess it was UEFA Cup then. And we went there, and it was a right old, into Sicily.
Yeah.
It was a mad few days in Sicily. And
so were you being flash, or were the West Ham squad being cheap?
I think we were being flash.
Right.
In fact, yeah, there was a group of about 10 of us, and I think, yeah, four of us were flash. Four of us were right cunts. All right, we were like, Boise, we'll be
staying
in a five-star place. But we'd got there, and we were like paralytic. You know, we'd been drinking on the plane from very early in the morning. Then we'd gone straight from the airport into the town for lunch and loads more booze.
Lunch.
And then when we stumbled back to the fucking hotel... I didn't know West Ham when he was staying there, but the lift doors open and Alan Pardew and Nigel Rio-Coca and Kevin Keane, former West Ham winger turned coach, were there. And we were really like this, "Hey, France, we're here for the game." And he just looked like...
Do you think they're going to go on the piss with you?
He said something like, "Oh, really?" Like as if, "Oh, I wouldn't have fucking guessed because you look like locals, you fucking sunburnt, inebriated bunch of fucking degenerates." He looked absolutely gutted that we were there, and I can't blame him. But it'd be like that, listeners. You know, find a very cheap industrial estate-based hotel, and you never know. After the show, you can go to one of our legendary after-parties, which usually involve buying, like, some McCoys and a Snickers from the vending machine, and then going back to our respective rooms. I got through quite a lot of Alvide's Lane Pet on the last tour, so who knows, it might be something like that.
I was going to say there will not be any interaction with the audience on this tour because of COVID restrictions. There will be no selfies, there will be no firm handshakes, arms around shoulders, none of that kind of thing.
Mind
you,
mate,
see us, you watch us, we leave, that's the end of it.
But did you see Tom Cruise having his curry in Birmingham on Twitter?
I noticed that, yeah. I don't know what the full story
so
was that it?
He had a photo. We'll get to the story because it's a very special story, but he went for a curry in Birmingham. And that sounds like a joke, but it's actually true. And then afterwards, obviously, the lads who run the curry house have gone, "Mr. Cruise, can we have a photo with you?" Why wouldn't they? And he's gone, "Yeah." But so he's just arranged it. They're standing in a sort of a pyramid. It's like they're the Avengers or a Battle of the Planets. He's like stood at the front, and they're sort of fanned out at 2 meter spaces, like diagonally behind him, like a guard of honour almost. It's fucking great. Anyway, listen to this, right? I don't know what the fuck he was doing in Birmingham, but I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of Tom Cruise anyway. I think he's fucking brilliant, right? And he rocks up in Birmingham to this curry house.
Right.
And they post it, and apparently, right, he's turned up, he's ordered, I can't remember, I think it was a tikka masala, right? Whatever the special at the house is, he's ordered it, plus sides, full fucking curry. This is a bloke who, for his age, is in incredible shape. So this is an inspiration to all us. He's eaten it, and they've come over and says, "Everything all right, Mr. Cruise?" And he's gone, "That was really nice. In fact, it was so nice, I'll have the same all over again." He had the same order again. He ate back-to-back curries, mate. Who does that remind you of?
We talked about this before. It's Reggie Perrin.
He's pulled a Reggie Perrin with the ravioli. Perrin.
Yeah, three courses of ravioli.
Cruise has pulled a fucking Reggie Perrin. And if you didn't love Tom Cruise already, then you better now, because that is sensational. Imagine that. Fucking Birmingham. He's rocked up. "All right, cons. Your eyes aren't deceiving you. It's me, Tom Cruise. Now, what's your special of the house?"
Fucking
brilliant.
I mean, I'm unsure about Tom Cruise. I think he's slightly demented. And the whole Scientology thing, I find that a bit worrying. But
I mean, he's completely mad. But Tom Cruise, I mean, that's part of the appeal to me.
Well, good luck to you with that.
I tell you what,
I'm not.
Tom Cruise is living out loud, mate. Do you remember when he went on Oprah and started jumping about all over the sofa?
Yeah, again. Again.
Fucking legend.
I'm not buying into it, let's just say that. But what I am buying into is, given that I've lost my sense of taste with the COVID over the last 24 hours, I am now fucking gagging for a curry, because that's going to be the only thing that's going to get through the barrier.
It'd be a waste, though. Be a waste,
well,
wouldn't it?
Surely I'm going to feel something if I get a curry.
Well, why don't you go and get... What's the... Yeah, is it a fowl, did you say? Did you
I'm
just
not
going
to do that. I don't like... I can't stand that thing where food is painful.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, I agree. I would never order a fowl, right? Because what's the point? But, having said that, if I'd lost my taste buds, I think, well, this might be the only opportunity I'd ever have to have a fowl, because I won't able to...
Is the after effects the following day not worse? I don't know.
Yeah, the spicier the curry, the
you've
more
got to
you're
think,
gonna
you've got to think. You've got to think about the back end, as I think they say in business terms.
Is it? But maybe you're... But I don't know if a side effect of COVID might be that your arse is desensitised as well. Some people get numb arse from COVID.
I can certainly experiment on it and get back to you.
Here's the tweet. The curry house is called Ashes, and if any of our listeners in Birmingham know it, then I'd love to hear more about Ashes and what you think of it. It looks like a nice place. And they've tweeted, "It was an absolute pleasure to welcome Tom Cruise to Ashes, Birmingham yesterday evening. Tom ordered our famous chicken tikka masala and enjoyed it so much that as soon as he'd finished, he ordered it all over again. The greatest compliment." And you've got to see the picture of him, mate.
I've seen the picture. I didn't know what the story was.
He's demented.
Well,
like a funny old man now.
Because he is. He fucking is.
He's demented, yeah. But Tom Cruise films, they're always good, aren't they? Mission Impossible, all that stuff.
I've already seen the Mission Impossible ones. I can't think of a Tom Cruise film that I've watched since.
Risky Business?
Like, yeah, that's gone back 35 years, though, isn't it?
I mean, The Outsiders. All the ones in the 80s were good. Ones,
other than the Mission Impossible ones, I don't think... Like, the last one I probably saw was Jerry Maguire, which is what, 30 years
another great film, mate. Show Me the Money. Brilliant.
Tom Cruise. What else has he done recently?
He's Born on the 4th of July. Rain
That's not
Man.
Recent. That's not recent.
Yeah, well, I'm going back into his canon of work, mate. He's always knocking films out.
You watch more films than I do, Sam. And I'm curious about, in the vein of Mission Impossible, I'm curious about two, what do they call them, franchises of films that I don't know whether I should get into or not. John Wick films, are they good?
The first John Wick film is one of the best films ever made. The second and third films get a little bit like, no. I mean, in the action genre, I would say it's right up there amongst the best. It's fucking brilliant, the first one. The second and third one, I found a bit repetitive.
Diminishing returns. All right, and the other one, Fast and the Furious. Should I get
into them?
Never
seen any of them, but it's on my to-do list.
I know. It seems like something to sit down with the kid, the son, father and son stuff, doesn't it?
It just seems so... It just seems such a laugh. I can't believe I've never got around to it. You always see the trailers. It's someone like The Rock, and it's like a car's jumping out of a skyscraper onto a helicopter or something like that.
Why have we not watched
these? Why, But, you know, why not? Talking of franchises with the kids, last week I introduced Len to Wayne's World.
Right.
And I'd forgotten how Wayne's World, people sort of went off it because the joke of going not became what wankers did. It's the sort of thing Frank Lampard would think was funny. I mean, some people still do it, and it's obviously really irritating, so it puts you off the whole thing because they started it. But we watched both the films, one and two, back to back, and in the second film, they actually make a gag aimed at themselves about how lame saying not is. So they have all the lame people in the film who keep saying it to Wayne, and he looks kind of quite bored and takes a piss. But it's one of those films that when you watch it, you start to realise how many bits and pieces, you know, things you pick up along the way, funny phrases or just ideas that you've picked up along the way and that you and your mates still say. Loads of them come from fucking Wayne's World. It was brilliant, and it was one of the first. It was the early 90s, which was sort of when The Simpsons was first getting really big, and it was one of the first things to start doing that postmodern stuff where everything referenced a piss take of other pop culture, and that sort of started around that time. The Simpsons was really big on it, and so was Wayne's World, Anyway, what I'm saying is, give Wayne's World a rewatch. It's really good. People sort of forgot how good it was and what a massive sort of cult thing it was. And also, right. It made me just think generally, the early 90s, culturally, a lot of people, including myself, have often thought, oh, things were shit in the early 90s. It was all like Jive Bunny at number one and stuff. No, I'm getting really into the early 90s. It'll never be the mid-90s, mate. Nothing will be. But the early 90s, well, you think Wayne's World, The Simpsons...
You wouldn't have had the mid 90s without the early 90s because something.
Very true, mate. Very true. In a lot of, you know, in many ways, the mid 90s was influenced by the early 90s. They should bring back Newsnight Review, but have me and you do it. Just us two, no guests.
Definitely.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Can we do some life logistics?
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of tweets here from the other day. Stephen Wilson says, I'm thinking of getting a hot tub, but I don't want to be one of those cunts floating about the back door in a bubbly paddling pool.
Yeah.
Brackets, lazy spa. You think it's worth working a bit harder for a proper one? That's from Stephen Wilson, and he gives his full age, 41 years and 2 months. I love.
Well, I can point you in a good direction for this, right? Is... Yeah. Richard Bacon, who's an old colleague and mate of mine, lives in the States now, so I never see him. But he wrote a really funny book. I think it was really funny anyway, called, I think it's something like A Series of Unrelated Events, which was sort of like a kind of an autobiography. But really what it was each chapter was just devoted to something funny or weird that had happened to him in his life. And it was all kind of, but it was very funny. And in fact, he wrote it together with our mate Mark Haynes, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know Mark.
I do.
And so it's very, very... It's a funny book. But the best chapter, right, is the chapter in which he describes getting a hot tub. And he basically is when he was first starting to make money out of TV. And he was living in Chiswick in West London. And he thought, it was like that. It's really funny, self-deprecating book. Because he thought, fuck this, I'm getting a fucking hot tub. I'm working in showbiz and I'm getting a hot tub. And then, in hilarious and very minute detail, he explains why owning your own hot tub is the biggest fucking pain in the ass that can ever happen to someone, right? Mostly it's to do with keeping it clean and the chemicals you have to constantly fucking pump into it, right?
That feels like my gut feeling about a hot tub is that a lot of maintenance, not a lot of reward.
Exactly. Really. I mean, how many days are you going to get in the hot tub? Right? I've got a mate called Dave whose in-laws had a hot tub and it was the bane of his fucking life, right? Because when he had to go up to see, he lived in London, but he had to go up and see his in-laws. It's somewhere like near Manchester. And their house, I remember he said their house sort of was perched on the side of an A road, right? A fucking dual carriageway or something, right?
So all that probably was, you're in next door.
Yeah, but they had a fucking hot tub in the garden and the view was basically this A road, right? But he said the first time he went there, his father-in-law, and he'd done all that usual thing, promised his girlfriend he's going to make a real effort and all the rest of it. And his father-in-law was like, oh, you brought your trunks, lad, like that. And he was like,
oh, no, man.
And he went, don't worry, you can borrow a pair of mine. We're getting in the hot tub.
God.
So he goes, it wasn't fucking even a nice evening. It was a bit drizzly on the outskirts of Greater Manchester, next to an A road, the air thick with fumes, right?
Yeah.
And he was with these people who he'd only met like 5 minutes before, his new girlfriend's parents. He was wearing is the dad's swimming shorts, which are like, you know, Cleese size another, is too big, so he's worried they're going to fall down. Yeah. And he's in there, and his dad, and the dad brings him out a can of unchilled Carling Black Label. Right.
Oh, fucking hell.
And he goes, there you go. Get stuck into that, son. Right. And he said he just had to sit there. And it was like he said, go, this will be nice. It's a chance for us to get to know each other. So he's sitting Jesus. With the dad and the mum, just having to fucking... And he was like, oh, it's one of the worst things ever. But still now sometimes, I hardly ever see him anymore. Still now, though, he will drop me a text because he knows I found it so funny. He's married with a kid now to the same girl. But when he's back up there, sometimes he'll send a picture and all I'll see is like the surface of a hot tub, right, in some grey weather and the corner of a can of either Foster's or Carling. It's always that type of beer, right? And he just always writes, he sends the picture and he just writes, guess where I am for the weekend.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, there's something creepy about it as well. If there's a couple and they've got a hot tub, do you straight away think, perverts?
Yeah. Sex people, as Alan Partridge said.
Yeah, the sex people. I don't want to socialise with the sex people.
Yeah, it's like hot tub people are like aficionados, aren't they? They're kind of like, they're a bit too into it.
Yeah.
If they're just going to do it themselves, that's kind of all right, keep it to yourself. But then when you're inviting people to go along, and it feels like it's a hard thing to turn down. I've never done it, I've never been in one, and I can't imagine why I would. I've been in a jacuzzi bath in a Holiday Inn swimming pool before, and then a stranger gets into that while you're sat in there with your kids, and that's fucking weird.
Nightmare, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I've been in it with my wife on holiday. I tried and failed to get her to, give me a hand job under the bubbles.
Yeah.
And as soon as I realised that was... That, I mean, she would, to be fair to her, she was very straight with me. It was like, this is a non-starter.
Did you take her hand and guide it towards your area?
And she was just like, listen, this is a complete non-starter.
Yeah.
If this is why we've got into this hot tub, just... Yeah, we're wasting our time because it's just never going to happen.
It wasn't.
So I was like, I appreciate your honesty. Let's get out. So we just got out.
Yeah. I mean, what did you do? Did you sort of get in and then just kind of reach your arms up and stretch and kind of just gently thrust your groin forward?
What a lovely day. What a lovely day for a hand job.
You know what would make this even more relaxing?
This hotel set me back 250 notes a night. Sorry, did I say really that out loud? Anyway.
It's nice to have a bit of luxury now and again. I wonder what we're topping off.
God knows I work hard and I need to relax. I get a lot of the, executive stress. I work very hard.
From the freelancing game.
I've been freelancing my balls off all year to pay for this.
Yeah, you've got to try though, haven't you? You've got to try.
Yeah, you don't ask that again. I'll never try again.
No.
But at least I've tried.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah.
Exactly. What have we got, anything else? Yeah, there's another tweet from the other day from Joshua. I need to replace the horn and the airbag in my car. I was quoted £500 by a few garages or £150 from a friend of a friend who is good with cars. Is it worth the risk?
This is a really good logistics question.
It is.
Because I read this and I thought, I just don't know.
It all depends on your budget.
It's a challenge.
And your circumstances, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, £350 difference between those two quotes. £350's a lot of money. And if you haven't got a lot of money, £350's a fuckload of money. I don't know.
You know, it's like if you get it done by a mate who's good with cars... You're always going to be thinking, fuck, will this come back to haunt me? That's it done by the mate. If you're worried about the budget, it's like, and it's not an elaborate job, get the mate to do it, because at least it'll keep it going for a little while, and then maybe if it does go wrong again, you might be a bit more flash by them.
The worrying thing is, it's horn and airbag, so you might find yourself in a situation where you really need the horn to work, otherwise you end up having to use the airbag because you couldn't use the horn.
And if they're both fucked, that's both your safety nets gone.
Yeah. Make sure the horn's definitely fixed.
Because if you're ever in trouble on the road, they teach you that when you do driving lessons. If you ever get yourself into trouble, just remember, you've got your horn, And if that's not working, you've got your airbag. And one of those two things is going to save you.
Now, the horn is for two things. Number one, it is to alert someone to danger in an emergency. Number two, it's to say turn to your mate when you're pulling away from his house at half 10 at night.
Those number are the three, two uses of if you a horn. See it, of course, in the old days, but they changed the DVLA changed this law round about the year 2000. It was also to show your appreciation if you see a right nice lass walking
sexy
along
lady.
The street or waiting at a bus stop. But no, you're not allowed to do that no more. And rightly so. Rightly so. I had a mate, right, who was a mechanic, and he was so used to when they were driving around in the van, in the truck, to beeping the hooter, which is really bad. I mean, it happened to my daughter recently, and then you really get fucking irate. Do you know what I mean? Mm. She called me a bit shaken up at the bus side to go and get her. Mm. Obviously took the Terminator with me in case there was any aggro. Yeah. Unfortunately, they'd gone. But, you know, so I shouldn't make light of it, but the bloke did, as he was driving along, lean when his wife was driving the car, and what? He saw an attractive lady, and he would lean across his wife and beep the hooter while she was driving, and she'd go, "What the fuck are you doing?" And he'd go, "Oh, sorry, it's just force of habit."
I thought you meant this was the incident.
No. This is years ago with my mate, who's a mechanic. Yeah, he used to beep the horn while his wife was driving. The woman would look round all confused.
Yeah, that can cause some cracks in a marriage, I think, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but also it causes cracks in society.
Yeah. It really does. So that's that. Get the lad to do 150. Because 150 is like mate's rate, isn't it? So 150 quid is bottom price. So you're paying that for what would probably be a 300 quid job.
Yeah.
And the garages that are charging 500, obviously they've got a bit on top because they've got to make a profit. So
they've got plenty on top, mate.
I think you're all right with it. I mean, how badly wrong
it's
can
not
an airbag
like,
go?
Yeah, it's not a massive. I mean, listen to me, like I fucking know. The airbag and the hooter.
Airbag's lazy.
That's not a big job at all. I mean, I could probably do that. I don't even know where they fucking are, mate.
It's just like a leather balloon, isn't it? You know.
You put a fucking balloon in there if you have to, there's no problem. It's like me, when you're listening, by the time this podcast goes out, you listen to it, Tuesday morning, spare a thought for old Nifty, because as you're listening to this, chances are I will be undergoing an extremely long root canal procedure, right, in the dentist chair. 9 a.m. I've got to be there, and the appointment is booked in to last till midday. Yeah. Now,
will you be general anaesthetic or local?
No, local, local. I'm going to take my headphones, and I don't know what I'm going to listen to.
That's a good plan. That I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I might. Someone's recommended a really good meditation app to me, which I might give a go. Yeah. But I've got a feeling I might just get bored with that. So I don't know. Anyway, I'll listen to something.
Audiobook.
Maybe some pop hits and
podcasts.
Yes, and I'll but you know, basically,
have a listen back to some of our podcasts and see if there's anything we can recycle for the live shows.
Yeah, I'll be laughing while they're doing it. Oh, that really is very good, Andy. Oh, you'll never change. Sorry, what was that? Oh, nothing. Go on, keep on going, Al Root Canal, just having a chuckle at my own podcast. I've gone for the first quote, 900 notes. I've gone to the NHS. They said, we won't do it. We'll pull the tooth out. Because we could do the root canal, but we don't deem it essential.
It's not worth our while.
So we'll pull. Yeah, that's what they said. They said, we'll pull the cum out, and we'll still charge you for that as well. I can't remember how much. So I was like,
you're not going to go hungry and get this done.
I was going to, but then two things put me off. One was there was such a lot of fucking admin surrounding me going to Hungary, which is an amber country.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, my brother-in-law gave me the heads up. He went, don't think it's like getting your dentistry done in England, mate.
He went, knee on the chest.
They won't numb you up, you know. You'll go in, they'll push you down, and then he'll just be going through hell. He goes, and the only thing that gets you through it is you think, I'm saving myself 300 quid here. I thought, fuck this. By the time I've done all the admin to get out to fucking Budapest, do you know what I mean? Anyway, so yeah, I'm going for the... I went for a middle option rather than just having it pulled out. But 3 hours, mate, tomorrow. What a nightmare, eh?
Well, I wish you the very best of luck, and I hope that we can continue to podcast afterwards and that your mouth will not be some kind of absolute fucked up bloody mess.
I'm sorry, your mouth is dead. Do you use your mouth much in your job? Yes, I fucking do. Well, I hope it's insured because it's dead now forever.
I'm going to have to amputate it. We're going to put a zip on the front like Zippy.
And your wife will be in control of it. You have to sign over legal rights to your mouth to your wife.
Right, that's it from this one. Sorry we didn't get round to solving the problem about the bat in the house, but I'm assuming it sorted itself out anyway.
We did. Check out. It was simple. Go to the hotel.
Oh, was that our solution, was it?
Stay there until the bat dies. There'll be no bat food in the house. What do bats eat? Mice, mainly, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So if you leave it, as long as there's no mice in your house, just leave the fucking bat. It'll eventually die. It'll run out of air. It'll die. Yeah. And then, you know, then you can go back, dispose of the bat corpse and go back to your normal life. Problem solved.
There you go, then. There we are. Bat drama solved. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more of this shit at some time in the future. Assuming that Sam's mouth survives. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.